Next is in the matter of Rosemary Anderson. Ready to proceed?
Ready, Your Honor.
May we please have appearances?
Ochin Kim for the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Arnold Mitelka of Jarabam Wargaft, and we represent respondent.
And Ms. Anderson?
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to advise you, because this is a potential disbarment matter, you'll have the opportunity to address the court last if you would like to do so, and you can consult with counsel beforehand. Ms. Kim?
Your Honor, we've already decided that she will.
Very good. Ms. Kim?
Good afternoon, Chief Justice and Associate Justices of the Court. This attorney disciplinary matter is before the court per a decision and recommendation from the Disciplinary Review Board that respondent Rosemary Anderson be disbarred for her knowing misappropriation of client funds in violation of RPC 1.15a and the principles of N. Ray Wilson. The OAE relies upon the board's detailed decision, the proofs adduced at trial, and its summation to the trier fact below. The OAE submits there is clear and convincing evidence that responding knowingly deposited cash in the amount of $5,000 into her attorney business account, transferred $2,000, not the whole $5,000, but $2,000 to her trust account to cover a $2,000 disbursement check, but then left the $3,000 in her business account and proceeded to spend that down by the end of October 2016. Ms. Anderson stated during a demand audit, during her hearing, during her random audit investigation and during the hearing, that this was the result of her poor record keeping. But the proofs actually show that she was very adept, as the board found, at juggling funds between both her trust account, her business account, and her personal accounts that were all linked at her financial institution. Specifically, when Ms. Anderson had to pay the client's child support obligations, she covered the defalcations of her client's funds by moving monies into her trust account to cover the specific payments of the child support checks, as it were. That is not a negligent misappropriation or proof of a lack of overseeing her accounts. As the board detailed and as the OAE had shown during hearing, Ms. Anderson knew the state of her accounts. And so even though she was not keeping her record keeping compliant with the record keeping rule, Ms. Anderson was aware of the state of her trust and business accounts to the point where she was able to cover payments for the client in this matter. And so because of those facts, and also too that this was the ethics investigation resulted from a random audit, and it was Ms. Anderson's third random audit during her career in New Jersey. Ms. Anderson stated that she's just not good with money, she doesn't really know what she's doing with her accounts, but she's an attorney at law in New Jersey. She was already put on notice two previous times of her record-keeping obligations. She was not compliant, but besides the instant client funds of $5,000, Ms. Anderson actually had complied in a sense with her obligations. So in three other client matters, Ms. Anderson deposited client funds into her business account via ATM, and she thereafter transferred those monies to her trust account via online transfer. She did not do so for this particular matter, for this client, which is why we're here today. She proceeded to use the funds, $3,000, that remained in her business account, and she used them for her own purposes without her client authority. Based on those facts, the OAE submits there was clear and convincing evidence of Ms. Anderson's knowing misappropriation of client trust funds such that she should be disbarred.
Questions, anyone?
I just have one. Can you just briefly tell us what amounts of monies were moving like in and out of the business account and trust account?
I believe the...
I'm speaking like generally, whether it was large sums of money moving about. Go ahead.
There were not large sums of monies. So there was not much activity in Ms. Anderson's attorney trust account. But in the time frame of the OAE's complaint, which was October 2016, Ms. Anderson received $5,000 in cash. She then deposited $4,900 of it into her
business. I can't hear you, Ms. Kim.
In October 2016, Ms. Anderson received $5,000 in cash from her client. She was not holding any other funds in her trust account, even though I believe there was a nominal amount in her trust account. She deposited those funds into her business account by October 17, 2016, as was her practice. Instead of moving the $5,000 to her business account, her trust account, where she knew to keep it intact, she left the $5,000 in her business account. And by the time, I believe at the point she deposited the initial $4,900, her business account balance was $7,500. So again, not a lot of money. By the date where she had deposited the last $100 into her business account, it increased it by another $100, but then she spent the funds in her business account down to where she invaded the $5,000. It dropped below to about $4,800. She then moved $2,000 to the trust to pay the first child support payment for, I believe, September, October of 2016. She did not move the $3,000 that remained in her business. She proceeded to spend the $3,000 of her client monies, it must be acknowledged, down. And thereafter, there was more movement of funds between her trust account, her business account, and her personal accounts. And so in the record, there was much made about the auditor's suggestion that Ms. Anderson needed those monies to cover personal expenses. And the reason the OAE even brought that up was to try to find a reason, which wasn't necessary, but her accounts were all linked. So her personal accounts were linked to the business accounts. And there was a calculation that showed that in addition to the business and the trust account, Ms. Anderson did not have sufficient funds, even in her personal accounts, to cover the shortages of her client monies. There was not much money in Ms. Anderson's accounts, Justice Alvin. So the $5,000 and then the defalcations were fairly easy to track.
Does OAE still take the position that the auditor's report has been not allowed and his testimony not allowed at this hearing?
Mr.
DeVito.
So the respondent's auditor?
Yes.
Yes. I believe it was the basis of the actual report and his proffer testimony, which was based upon interviews of only Ms. Anderson and her husband, as opposed to a review of the actual underlying financial records. I apologize, I'm not too familiar with the record because this was, I did not do the investigation, but from my review of the record, it appeared as though he did not actually review the underlying documents, the financial records, but only spoke with Ms. Anderson and her husband regarding the family's financial situation to opine that she did not need any extra money, and so she would not have invaded client funds, and her accounting was not correct.
I thought that
correct.
One of the main issues being raised by respondent is that she was denied a fair hearing because she had a right to the expert report and that her auditor did look at the financial records, but in addition did interview Ms. Anderson and her husband.
Okay.
And I thought your complaint was, well, he didn't interview anyone else.
I believe the proffer from the expert was that he would, I'm sorry, the special master excluded the expert testimony because it would have just been based on the facts. And the facts would come in either via the documents or the testimony of Ms. Anderson and the other witnesses, including her husband. So I believe the special master excluded because there was no opinion that would have assisted his review of the complaint before him.
But this was on the OAE's motion to strike, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kim. Mr. Mitalka.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, the questions that were asked will be dealt with, I think, in my remarks, and also to some extent by my client, Ms. Anderson. So let me proceed with my remarks. Disbarment is the capital punishment of the legal profession. A disbarred attorney is precluded from practicing law with virtually no opportunity for reinstatement. In this misappropriation case, the severity of disbarment requires proof by clear and convincing evidence that the attorney knowingly misappropriated client trust funds. Negligence is not enough. I represent, as your honors know, Rosemarie Anderson. She has been a discipline-free lawyer for 21 years. Among her pro bono activities, she has helped the poor and served as vice chair of a Supreme Court District Fee Committee until her term concluded in 2018. She received an OAE Certificate of Appreciation, and the OAE encouraged her to serve again. Ms. Anderson, as your honors know, is charged with knowing misappropriation from a $5,000 child support trust fund. The client was Mustafa Chikiobi. Ms. Anderson mixed the Chikiobi trust fund with other funds. As the OAE alleged at paragraphs 24 through 26 of its complaint, that's the complaint we're here on, there were trust fund shortages from November 17, 2016 through January 4, 2017. That's right out of their complaint. The shortages ranged from a high of $1,129.83 on November 28, 2016, down to a low of $28.35 on December 20, 2016. There was no client loss, and Mr. Chikiobi's child support objective was fully carried out. Ms. Anderson's conduct, mixing trust and non-trust funds, and particularly her negligent inattention to the mixture, certainly warrants discipline. But the OAE seeks disbarment, and the DRB recommends disbarment. The allegation is not just misappropriation of trust funds, which in itself would not warrant disbarment, but knowing misappropriation intentionally, not mistakenly, using trust fund dollars for non-trust uses. That's the allegation. The court, of course, reviews the DRB recommendation de novo on the record, utilizing the clear and convincing standard. Our position is that there is no clear and convincing evidence that Ms. Anderson knowingly misappropriated Chikiobi trust money. Even the special master who heard this case and who recommended disbarment merely found that Ms. Anderson's conduct, quote, if not, and I'm quoting from his decision, if not grossly negligent, would amount to recklessness, close quote. He did not find intent, and a finding of intent is not supported by the record. To disbar for misappropriation, more is needed than a showing that money has moved. There must be clear and convincing proof of knowledge and intent. That proof is lacking here. I'm going to review a couple of the reasons. First, as in some cases, but not here, there is no admission. At the hearing and at the earlier demand interview, Ms. Anderson denied knowing misappropriation. As I said earlier, she will address the court after I have concluded. Second, undisputed testimony and documentary evidence demonstrate that Ms. Anderson had no need to misappropriate client trust funds. She had no need for funds to, quote, keep her financial ship afloat, close quote, as the DRB alleged. Where is the evidence of that? And, or to, quote, survive, a stronger word, as the OAE's auditing witness, Mr. Coangelo, suggested at Ms. Anderson's demand interview. Rather, as the evidence clearly shows, Ms. Anderson's husband supported her whenever required and commanded far more income and assets than the small shortages alleged in the Chickiobe trust funds. The record will show, Your Honors, that at the time of the hearing, it's more now, at the time of the hearing, Mr. Anderson was earning $120,000 a year. Finally, the OAE's reliance on bank statements, statements that were reviewed without adverse findings by the OAE itself in the middle of the trust shortage time period, when one of Ms. Anderson's trust fund checks bounced, is certainly not clear and convincing evidence of thievery. In fact, it is quite a stretch to find Ms. Anderson guilty of knowing misappropriation, where trust fund shortages only occurred in a single case, that's this case, and not in the three other cases referenced in the OAE's complaint, or in any other case in Ms. Anderson's 21-year career. It's a one-shot thing. Where the misappropriation occurred, moreover, over a time period of less than 2 months, from November 17, 2016, to January 4, 2017. Those dates are right out of the complaint. And where the maximum misappropriation, as I've said, was $1,129.83. Numbers can prove misappropriation, but they cannot prove knowing misappropriation without something more. And there was nothing more here, nothing more than several weeks of tiny shortage numbers. Beyond the lack of clear and convincing evidence, the case brought against Ms. Anderson by the OAE and decided against her by the DRB reflected a major evidential error. And we've had a question about that already. Although Mr. Coangelo, the OAE's auditing witness, testified at great length against Ms. Anderson based on inferences he drew from trust records and bank statements, Joseph DeVito, a CPA retained on behalf of Ms. Anderson, was barred from testifying by the special master, sustaining the OAE's objection. It wasn't his idea, the OAE objected. And the master's decision was affirmed by the DRB. Although this issue is discussed at length in our brief, I want to emphasize several points, and I won't be long. First, the reasons offered for excluding Mr. DeVito's expert testimony were plainly wrong. For example, the DRB asserted that the testimony was based, quote, exclusively on an interview of Ms. Anderson and her husband. In fact, Mr. DeVito's report, which is in the record, two-page report, made clear that he had reviewed Ms. Anderson's trust records and bank statements, exactly what the OAE's witness, Mr. Coangelo, had himself consulted. Also in the brief submitted by the OAE to this court, at page 4, there is the argument that the DeVito testimony was, quote, properly excluded, I'm quoting from the OAE's brief, because it was an opinion, quote, on the ultimate question, close quote, of Ms. Anderson's liability. This argument is, of course, wrong, because Evidence Rule 704 specifically sustains, sustains the admissibility of opinion testimony, though, quote, it embraces, I'm quoting the rule, it embraces, an ultimate issue to be decided by the trier of fact, close quote.
Mr. Maitalka, I have a quick question for
you. Sure.
Was there a challenge to Mr. DeVito's opinion based on the reliability of his methodology? Based upon the reliability of his expert opinion.
No.
What was the basis for the OAE's challenge to Mr. DeVito's report?
No, Your Honor, I wish I had studied that, but I don't remember the basis.
Okay.
It's been quite a few months.
Yes.
I do remember that they challenged it, they objected. I argued the other way.
Okay.
And the special master said, he actually said something to the effect, I've litigated hundreds of cases, or he might have even said thousands, and I don't need to be told what the facts are.
Okay. Thank you.
Something like that. You're welcome. Beyond the the evidential errors, going further on as to Mr. DeVito's report, the second point is Mr. DeVito's report demonstrates that he would have given highly relevant testimony. So this is not just something, what difference does it make? His testimony, according to the report that is part of the record, is that Ms. Anderson's invasion of trust funds, quote, was a result of poor banking and bookkeeping processes and procedures, which my firm has now corrected. So he not only would have testified as an expert as to what happened, but he would have testified that he was correcting it. Third, Mr. DeVito's report reflects the important conclusion his testimony would have offered, that Ms. Anderson, and I'm quoting from the report, has not exhibited a pattern of deceit that would indicate that this misappropriation was intentional, close quote.
Sir, are you quoting from the expert report on that?
Say it again, please.
Are you quoting from the expert's report on that?
Yes, I am.
And does the expert have an opinion as to credibility, whether there's deceit or not?
Not directly. I find the people credible.
By inference, by his
insight, by inference,
he's
yes.
testifying as to credibility.
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. Is that within an expert's realm to testify as to the credibility?
Well, it's not within the expert's realm to testify about credibility. But if an expert relies on somebody's statements, someone's testimony, or someone's an interview of somebody, if he feels that they're not telling the truth, you would expect he would not rely on them.
So you're inferring from the fact that
it's not binding, Your Honor.
You're inferring that because he relied on it, he believed that the truth was being told to him.
I think because. I'm sorry, I was having trouble hearing you.
You're inferring that because he relied on it, he believed that he was being told the truth, and therefore that's why he made it, cast his opinion as to credibility?
No, I believe that his review of the books and records and the bank statements are what, and his expertise as a CPA would give the proof that would be helpful in the case to the finder of fact. I believe,
but it was a proof as to credibility. Not as to the accuracy of the records or the record keeping or the balances, no, but rather as to credibility.
Were negligently kept and were not accurate.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Your Honor. We don't seek acceptance of Mr. DeVito's report in lieu of his testimony. I cite it only to show the extent and impact of the error, and I invite the court to look at it. It's only two pages. Excluding Mr. DeVito's testimony, while permitting the OAE's auditing witness, Mr. Colangelo, to testify at length, at great length, the better part of a whole day. This case began with a demand interview in December 2017, where the OAE alleged that Ms. Anderson used the Chicoyobi Trust Fund, quote, to be able to survive, close quote, and sought her consent to disbarment. That was at the demand interview, December 2017. Notwithstanding unrefuted evidence that that survival allegation was inaccurate, the DRB decision echoed the point, as I've said earlier, asserting that Ms. Anderson's Chicoyobi Trust Fund activity enabled her, quote, to keep her financial ship afloat. But the testimony of Ms. Anderson and her husband, together with supporting documentary evidence, demonstrate that this theory of need has no merit at all. And of course, if CPA DeVito had been allowed to testify, the case against the OAE's need theory would have been even more overwhelming. Without its need theory, I'm not saying you have to have need, but without its need theory, the OAE's case boils down to a speculative inference of knowledge from numbers. But the small numbers here are the same whether these trust fund shortages were knowing or not. And if the shortages were not knowing, if they resulted from negligence, there would be discipline, but should not be disbarment.
Mr. Mitalka, may I ask a question?
Of course.
Knowing misappropriation can be satisfied through willful blindness as well, correct?
Yes.
What are we to make of the fact that there were two prior audits? Did they place her on notice of what she should have been doing?
If you look at that's a fine question. If you look at the audits, what they were looking at, it should have told her, you better keep better records. But it really didn't. That neither of them involved misappropriation. And the she really messed up. That's the bottom line. She should have been. They didn't discipline her at those audits. They didn't. It would have been, in fact, you know, my view is that it's really too bad that when the check bounced, which is the big thing, that's the biggest thing in the case. Not those two prior audits were things like you didn't. Your checks were in the wrong form and stuff like that. When the check bounced, the $1,000 check was right smack in the middle of this period of time when there were shortages. It's really too bad that a thorough investigation wasn't done by the OAE, and they could have said to her, you know, we've investigated and you're really screwing up with your trust account, and as opposed to just saying everything's fine. I served as a chairman of a district ethics committee, and that's exactly what I would have done. It wasn't done. She wasn't, I'm not saying that anything has to be done about that, but she really doesn't know numbers. And right now, things are different. She has, Mr. DeVito is reconciling her trust account every month. She has a bookkeeping service, and everything has changed, and has been since 2017 when the demand audit occurred. Let me conclude by urging you not to take away Ms. Anderson's ability to help clients, particularly the poor. In this case, disbarment is not necessary to protect the public because Ms. Anderson has learned her lesson. With Mr. DeVito's help, she has corrected her conduct. This court, and if he testified, he would say that. This court has held that the purpose of attorney discipline is not to punish, but to protect the public and public confidence in the bar. Absent clear and convincing evidence of nefarious intent, disbarment would accomplish nothing more than to severely punish Ms. Anderson. Ms. Anderson is not a thief. She should not be disbarred. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maitalkum. Ms. Anderson.
Chief Justice, Associate Justices, good afternoon. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. After living a life of integrity, to have my name associated with theft is jarring every day. To hear and see my name in this context is shocking. And a constant question of mine is, how did this happen? I ask myself this question because I know how diligent I have been in my practice, how careful I have been not to abuse my position in any way. I did not intentionally misappropriate money from Mr. Chiki Obi. I take responsibility for the fact that I was negligent. I have always handled clients' monies knowing that I do not have a right to it, knowing that those funds are not available to me for any reason. There has never been a time when I felt a need so great that I considered stealing from a client. The misappropriations found by the OAE were the result of negligence and nothing more. I have not experienced financial hardship during my practice of law. I have always been able to rely on the support of my family. I have always known that if I have a need, they would step in immediately, no questions asked. After my marriage to Courtney, he became an additional source of support to me. I was unaware of these infractions until an entire year after they occurred, when the OAE questioned me about them at the demand audit. Because of the passage of time and my own inattentiveness to these matters at the time, I cannot speak precisely to how or why the infractions occurred. While I may not be able to answer all of your questions because I do not know all the answers myself, I can say without a doubt that at no time did I knowingly take money, transfer money, or use money from a client for any reason. During the approximately 2 months that I've been accused of invading clients' funds, what I failed to do prior to the audit in 2017 was to look at balances, except the beginning balance and ending balance during my monthly reconciliations. They had to match the bank's starting and ending numbers. That is all I paid attention to. If those figures matched, then I believed I had done all that I needed to do. At the outset, I did not transfer the entire amount as I questioned the legitimacy of the Chiki Obi money at the time. After that, I did not think about the money until I needed to make the scheduled payments. I do not think even I did not even think about the legitimacy of the funds. The bank had not contacted me about the money, and I actually thought nothing else about it. That is not true anymore. Because of this case, I have become more thoughtful, more careful, and more diligent in handling money. I now have my business, my personal, and my trust accounts in different banks. I have an accountant, Joe DeVito, and his firm helping with monthly reconciliation. I now use Cosmolex, a trust and business management software, which I learned of while taking a CLE course on proper trust account management. My business checks and trust checks are different colors so that I cannot make an error in printing on the wrong check. I no longer make online transfers from my business account to my personal account. I print checks. I no longer manage money the way I did in the past. This is a new and better system that is compliant with the rules. There is something good that came from this ordeal. My practice is now in order, and negligent misappropriations will never happen again. I am an attorney, and I take my role seriously. I treat my clients with respect and dignity, whether they're paying a fee or not. A part of this respect is respecting their privacy and their money, always. I have learned a great deal throughout this process. I have become more diligent and careful. I have seen the strength and continued support of a loving family who know that my being here today is because of error, not willfulness. I do hope that you will see that too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Questions, anyone? We'll take the matter under advisement.